Hello, my dear listeners. This is English Canada, the podcast about learning languages, going through immigration, and establishing yourself in a new place. Hello, everyone. This is Anastasia Stoyanova with you guys. Welcome. This is a new episode, and today I'm going to talk about something that's very important, I think, for everyone today, and that's the use of AI, and more precisely speaking, the use of large language models. And recently, I've been doing a bit of training, so I've been trained in information technology, and I'm learning about lots of things, like computers, you know, programs, and I'm trying to apply all of that knowledge and skills in my work, in teaching. And of course, today's episode I want to dedicate to using LLMs, large language models. I'm pretty sure everyone has used ChatGPT. My personal favorite is Claude, actually. I use Claude for all of the tasks that I do daily for my work, for lesson preparation, for studying, learning new things, for learning French as well, because I'm sure by this time you have already know. You've heard of that I've been learning French a lot. If not, please listen to or watch my previous episodes. So in today's episode, I want to talk about, first of all, just some tips, which model to use, which version to use, paid or non-paid, how to work with the prompt, also which skills it's better to practice with AI if you're learning a language. Then I'll talk about my personal favorites, that's Claude and Perplexity, and also some other things like some tips and tricks, what I do and some examples how I use the large language models to learn a language, for example, the French language. But also you can use AI, large language models in particular, for so many things. As long as you verify the output and you always do this, what I call sanity check, check the information, check the output, play around with the input. So first things first, personally, I've been experimenting both with paid and non-paid versions, and I highly recommend using paid versions. And if you're a student, you can always claim that, and you get a student discount. It's very easy. Even if you are self-employed or even employed, you have an employer, sometimes your employer might give you benefits, extra benefits, to use AI as well, and you can claim that as an expense, also something that you are using for your self-development, let's say. For me, as a self-employed English as a second language instructor, obviously I use that for business purposes, so I always claim that as my business expense. So I do recommend using a paid version. You pay, but you get much better output if you just play around and you ask the same question, you ask, you know, or you assign the same task to the paid version and versus unpaid or free version of LLM that you're using. It's gonna be way worse, like the quality of the response when it comes to a free version. You could check this out with different models, and you know, if you're a ChatGPT fan, right? Like, or I'm a fan of the Anthropic company and Claude in particular. So I've played around with free Claude and paid Claude, and it makes a big difference, honestly. So that's my first recommendation. Then also, how to work with a prompt. First things first, if you are learning English, let's say, or French, try writing your prompt in English or in French, of course. When you write your prompt, that's learning in itself, because I noticed that for me as a teacher, also as an English teacher, I practice English just by typing very detailed prompts. That's a lot of writing, because, you know, you always want to specify the context, which role you are assigning, you know, act as a what, as a who, as a French, as a French as a second language instructor, and explain to me as if I have no previous knowledge of what kind of topic, what kind of context. And then you write as many details how you want the output to look like. Like you're gonna say, for example, write 5 examples and provide with the translation to your native language, and so on and so forth. So a lot of people are just sometimes are lazy when it comes to writing prompts, but it's actually everything depends on your prompt. If your prompt is very specific, your output will be more successful, more exhaustive, like more full, right? So that's why there is even a separate like direction of working with LLMs, that's prompt engineering. So your prompt should be very context specific. You have to exactly indicate what you want to see as your output. And also you have to provide a lot with your input. For example, along with your prompt, you might want to provide some PDFs or markdown files just to give the LLM more context. And you might want to say, like, consider the PDF files I'm attaching, and I want you to study these files, scrutinize them, and, I don't know, review them, and prepare summary in 10 sentences with the most important things, and provide me with some examples or whatnot. Yeah, but of course, it's a brief example. When I practice with my students for my lessons, I promised you that I will give you some more examples how to practice the skills. So during the lesson, sometimes when we look at the text, because I teach CELPIP preparation, so we look at a lot of texts, a lot of reading, and I always input the text and I ask a large language model that, okay, we have this question and the correct answer is this, so you got to provide the correct answer, otherwise, you know, of course, a LLM might always hallucinate. So you got to make sure that your teacher or yourself, if you're learning any language by yourself, you got to make sure you know what the answer, what the correct answer is, and try to kind of ask AI, why is this correct answer? Can you explain to me like I'm 5, right? Or can you provide the justification from the text? So, for example, you could use for reading, right? When you do the listening and you do the tasks, so maybe you're listening to this podcast, right? And you want to just ask about something, some concept. So you can always work with a transcript, right? A lot of audio files or listening exercises in the books, on the platform, for example, if you're preparing for CELPIP or IELTS, every listening is a text basically. So, and you are gonna input that text into LLM and then ask it to break it down for you. So you see, both reading and listening can be practiced with an LLM. In my case, I use Claude. Claude has many models. They provide the models that are more ambitious, that can work with files, that can generate nice looking PDFs for you. For example, for vocabulary, I always ask one of the Claude models to generate an HTML file for me, and it's an interactive quiz that I use during my lesson, and I also provide my client with such quizzes that are very personalized, and in that way they can practice, they can play around, they can open this HTML file in the browser, and it's all free and nice looking, and they click around and there are some explanations that pop up. So it's a nice way to test yourself, how much vocabulary you remember if you're learning a language, for example. So you see, you could practice reading, listening, vocabulary as a language system, right? You could practice grammar and give the context. For example, let's say, explain this present perfect topic for me in the context of life experiences, right? You could even provide some snippets of the lessons, like if, let's say, your teacher made some notes for you and you can discuss the notes. And for this purpose, there is even a more specific tool that I like using. It's Notebook LM. That's by Google. And that's also, they have a free version and paid version. And of course, it's up to you to decide. But my recommendation is always to invest a little bit of money and you get much better outputs, much more quality. Yeah, and that's just great. Also, you gotta understand that different LLMs have been trained to do different tasks differently. So let's say you want to do research online and you need to, I don't know, I will give a life example, like less technical thing. But let's say you're choosing a movie, right? Like, and you know that you have liked certain movies or series. So for this purpose, I highly recommend Perplexity if you're doing the research, or any Claude model, but making sure that you're using research mode. And so by providing such examples and giving more context, maybe like, you know, why you liked this specific movie. And then in that way, the model can do some research for you and make some suggestions. So that's why, like, be careful, because every model has been trained on certain data. And so you want to use that specific model for a specific purpose that you have in mind. Because AI is more like an umbrella term, right? But LLMs are really great when it comes to writing your code, for example, if you want to practice programming or teach you how to write code, right? Or at least the basics. But you always, always got to make sure to double check the output. The same goes with language learning. When they generate the output, sometimes what I notice is that even the paid versions might make some mistakes due to some statistical analysis that they are using. Like just a recent example I had with my husband's brother. We were just discussing something online and I was giving some tips to him and I provided the list of the words and I said, like, okay, look them up, ask LLM to generate examples for you. And so he did. And I think he was using like a free ChatGPT and it actually made a mistake. It hallucinated and it corrected the phrase spick and span because it's spelled as spick, S-P-I-C-K. So ChatGPT said like, oh, it's not that, it's speak, but it should have been spick and span. Even the sound is, it's shorter sound. It's not speak like a long tense vowel. It's laxed vowel, it's short vowel, spick. So it's a different expression, but ChatGPT corrected him and corrected my husband's brother and said, hey, you must have made a typo, it said, but there is such an expression. So you see, you got to be careful. And my point, you got to verify the output. Always use the dictionary, especially if you're working with the vocabulary, double check with the reputable sources. If you're learning English, that's Merriam-Webster, Cambridge, Oxford Learners, or Oxford Advanced Learners Dictionary. Everything is available online. There's also a good tool like Context Reverso, and these are all my personal recommendations. They have not, I'm not endorsing them or anything or promoting them. These are just recommendations based on the experience. So always verify the output and use the dictionary, to verify, for example, vocabulary, or even if you are learning grammar, always make sure that you verify against a reputable book or a printed source. I've had this problem when I was learning the le subjonctif. It's like a specific mood in French. AI also hallucinated and made a mistake, and the explanation was almost wrong, almost completely wrong. Because I do have a bit of background knowledge, I had background knowledge even before studying this topic, because I had a very good tutor. So she already had explained this to me, and I was like somehow trying to recap to do this revision. And so I asked AI, and that was back even before I did some training, you know, in IT. And like I understood the true value of getting a paid version of a LLM model. It made a mistake and I had to use the grammar reference book. And so the last thing I want to note is that and this is like, it's kind of tied to what I was saying previously, is that try to work on your prompt, make it very specific, and also try to give some PDF files or markdown files that are even better as your input. Like I said, your markdown file can be just the Google document lesson that you had with your teacher, let's say like this. But all in all, I gotta say that I do use it all the time. I think it's a lifesaver when it comes to consulting and like helping me with checking written works of my students as well. But I always verify. Like, of course, it is helpful. It helps me a lot, but I always verify. And the only thing and the only way I can verify is that based on my experience, on my expertise as a professional, as an educator, and also double checking with the reputable sources like grammar reference books, vocabulary reference books. And I will even create, I think, a separate episode about that. If you're learning English or French, I will make the list of my personal favorites and I'll make an episode about that. So stay tuned. And I just want to say that we got to embrace AI and large language models for sure. Try playing around and buying the paid versions. Try working on your prompt engineering, writing prompts. My husband even said, you know what? Like, since the AI and all the LLMs came to use, he said, oh, you know, my English has improved. And he's not an English teacher. He's in the IT field, right? But he said that I write so many prompts every day at work. So it helped him to improve his writing, actually, because you got to think about the prompt. You got to think what you're asking. And, you know, I use AI when I'm even like not sure during my study buddy sessions, as I've been, as I told you guys before in the previous episodes, I have study buddy sessions with some people who learn French with me. So we don't pay each other. We just study together. And so sometimes we have some doubts. So we ask my paid version of Claude and I just log in and I have the separate project. It's very nice because you can spread your chats into projects. So let's say you have the project, big project of French learning, right? And you will stack all the necessary PDF or markdown files in that project, and you want to provide more context and you want to make sure that the memory mode is on, because in that way the it remembers everything about you, all the background, everything. And I do find it useful, especially if you're using for personal reasons and it's not like it's useful when it remembers a lot about you. It's not dangerous as long as you don't provide anything super sensitive. So you got to be smart about it. Of course, the responsibility is always on you, what you want to provide. So I'm not advising and saying that, you know, AI will or LLMs will replace a teacher. No, it's not like that. I'm this kind of person who is both a teacher and a student, because I'm an English teacher, English as a second language teacher, and also I keep learning French and I want to master French really well before I actually start teaching, probably. So I'm just trying to point out that I do think that AI and LLMs are not going to be able to replace an actual human teacher, because language is all about spontaneous interaction. And LLMs cannot give us that. So for now, they cannot. But I would say most importantly, it should always be about combining LLMs and the teacher. And in that way, you can benefit greatly. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. And stick around and hang out a bit more. In the next episodes, I'll be talking about a bit more about my recommendations when it comes to English and French learning. So I'm sure you're gonna benefit a lot from that. And also I am preparing like an episode just recapping and talking about all kinds of things that have been happening recently, because I've been really busy lately. So yeah, so just stay tuned and have a great day. See you next time. Bye-bye.